You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, now I'm going to read you a true story. And if you've heard this, just bear with me, but this is one of the funniest things I've found in a long time. An elderly lady did her shopping and upon return found four males in her car. She dropped her shopping bags and drew her handgun. Drawing her handgun, proceeded to scream at them at the top of her voice that she knows how to use it and that she will if required, so get out of the car. The four men didn't wait around for a second invitation, but got out and ran like mad, whereupon the lady proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car and got into the driver's seat. Small problem, her key wouldn't fit the ignition. Her car was identical and parked four or five spaces further down. She loaded her bags into her car and drove to the police station. The sergeant that she told the story to nearly tore himself in two with laughter and pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale white males were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly white woman. No charges were filed. Well, make sure you're getting in your car when you get in, guys. All right, the title today of this deal is You've Got Female. And I have a sheet that I found that says Top 10 Things Men Know About Women. And you can't see this, but it's number 1 through 10. And they're all blank. There's 1 nothing, 2 nothing, 3 nothing. So I'm not up here as any kind of authority. I live with 4 women. I'm married to 1 of them. The rest are my daughters, for you new first-timers. So I'm not by any means any kind of expert, but I will tell you this, and I probably ought to have Rebecca here. She's not here, so we'll have a little more fun today working that side. I really do believe there's a difference in men and women. I know that'll come as a shock to most of you. And I am probably close to this list of 1 through 10 things after a little over 11 years of being married. I don't know. I still don't know if I get it. I mean, I think there is stuff, and I'm trying, and you literally, you just have to think. There's some of these things that I think after 10, 20, 30 years, I guess after a while, how many guys in here over like 50? Raise your hand. Men over 50. All right, how many of you can put your hands down? How many of you guys over 50 think you got it figured out? Raise your hand. All right, there we go. That's what I thought. It is a completely different world. I mean, it's just unbelievable how different things are. I was reading something this morning even about all this, and you know, you go back and read, for instance, Song of Solomon. And this guy in Song of Solomon, Steve Farrar was written in this book about this. This guy at Song of Solomon, I mean, he's going on describing body parts, and her nose is like the, you know, something of the mountains of Lebanon. See, I don't think that would work at my house. You don't want to be calling your wife's nose anything referred to a mountain at all. You know, this guy, I think it works, and women probably tell you this stuff works, but men just don't communicate that way. I mean, if men, you know, they don't go, you know, your legs look like 2 tall trees. They just go, nice legs. I mean, there's very little communication. We say things very fast, very little things. I went to a Ranger game last night with 5 other guys. One of the guys I talked to a lot, and I'm telling you, you go to those things, you come back, and all of a sudden you're like great friends because you went to a Ranger game and sat and watched a bunch of men and sat with a bunch of men, and now we're buddies. You know, that's bonding. We sat down, I looked in front of me, and looked like the dad, the mom, the daughter, and the son-in-law, okay? These 4 people sitting there. And I watched the game a little bit and perfectly kept watching this thing. There's the dad down here, he's eating peanuts. drinking beer, eating peanuts. He didn't talk to the son-in-law down there. He's down there drinking beer, eating peanuts. And these two women, I don't even know they knew they were at a ball game. In fact, I poked the guy next to me and I said, you know, they haven't looked out there yet. And they were just so intense and going on and on, looking at each other. And the, you know, this daughter is just, I guess that was their therapy time or something. I'm like, it's a ball game. So there are different reasons for going to these things, obviously. But it's just different. I mean, it's completely different. And I think sometimes we think these things are bad. I don't want to live someone who's like me. Okay, women, for instance, get bad rap about gossiping. Okay? Do you know why men don't get a bad rap about gossiping as bad as women do? Because you have to talk to gossip. And men don't talk. They don't communicate enough to gossip about anybody. I thought I'd get more amens from the women. I'm trying to warm you women up before I dive in here. All right, enough of that already. Anyhow, all right, let me go over here to Genesis. Let's just start back here with this whole thing. And I think, you know, it's, we're hard on these women, the female thing, but it's not completely women's fault. I mean, it's not that men were taken from women. Women were taken from men, and I think it scarred them for life. It's partially our fault. If you go back even in the garden, and you've got male and you've got female, in the underlying bottom line, there are great things, there are great differences, but where we get into problems are a result of one thing, one little three-letter word, sin. If it's not for sin, we don't have a lot of the problems that we have. Because when sin entered in back in Genesis, I mean, you got man, he's made, he's by himself, everything's great, God says everything's great, but there's something not good, man's alone. And he makes this unbelievable creature, and there's not anything like her on the planet. Now, I am pro-women, and I'm pro the women at my house and the woman in my house. But I think women are a great thing. I think when Adam opened his eyes after that surgery, I mean, he probably figured out he was missing something, but it was worth the sacrifice. I mean, it's a great thing. And there's a lot of confusion out there today about who's attracted to who, but I mean, I'm pro-women, okay? I think that it's a great thing, and I love the differences. And I think if you go back and look, when Adam and Eve were in that garden, I think the relationship they had was unbelievable, even down to the fact that it says they were naked and not ashamed. There is a purity about that. They're just two people, completely different, but they're together. It's just a sweet deal. I mean, I think whatever they had going was an awesome thing there. And then this snake shows up, tempts Eve, and everybody comes down hard, by the way, on Eve, like she is completely responsible. If you go back and read the passage, the snake works Eve, but the man is standing there the whole time. And if he is the man he's supposed to be, he could have stepped in and said, "We've had all the fruit we need today, we're going to go for a walk." You know? So the woman gets tempted, the man goes along with it, woman offers him fruit, and he gets sucked in the same temptation, their eyes are open, God comes looking for him, and what happens in this situation? What happened? You know, the man says, "She made me do it." "This woman you gave me," is what Adam said. "This woman you gave me, I didn't do this, you made her, you talked to her about it." So he looks at her, she says, "This snake did it." Everybody passing blame. At some point, you got to take responsibility. And I know this is about you got female, but guys, if you've got female, you better be male. And you better step up to the plate and lead your life personally, lead your wife if you're married, and lead your family if you've got kids. And take a stand on some of these things. And you say, "Well, women don't want to be told what to do." You're exactly right. They don't want to be told what to do. They want to be led. And there's a difference in telling somebody what to do and leading them. It works in business. If you've got a boss who's just always telling you what to do, that's one thing. If you've got a boss who is leading and providing leadership in that office, you drive slaves, you lead followers. So if you have to drive your house and you have to drive these people, women, this whole thing, and I'll get over there if we have time, this whole thing about submission is not a negative thing by any stretch of the imagination. And there's women's all this stuff out there that say all this stuff's terrible. You show me a woman who is connected in some way to a godly man, whether it be a father or a boyfriend or a husband, and I'll show you a happy woman. Now let me, before I forget this and get too far, you women and you men dating women that you're not married to, you guys are not married, don't be trying to treat her like some wife. She is not your wife, and you are not the leader of a home till you make it a home. And there are a lot of guys out there telling women what to do and trying to quote-unquote lead them in a relationship. She's not your wife, big boy. So you want all the accoutrements and all the benefits that come with it, sign yourself up. Somehow the women aren't supposed to be the ones clapping at us. My mama didn't raise no fool. That's what it is. All right, let me jump quickly to another deal. Let me read you something out of Proverbs. And guys, listen close, because if you got female, this is part of the deal. This is not bashing women. This is just part of the options out there. And ladies, you do not want to be one of the women described in this story. My son, chapter 7 of Proverbs. Keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them on the table of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. There are immoral men out there, but there are immoral women out there. From the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. And let me tell you something, guys. It never says she's a harlot. It just says she's dressed like one. Now, I'm obviously a man. If you are female or you got female, then let them dress like women, not whores. And I don't care what's on the TV. I don't care what's in the magazines. You may get attention, but you're not out for the kind of attention you're getting if you're a woman. And I see girls come out. You say, well, they're trying to look feminine. I see teenage girls coming out now. And I'm going to tell you something. They end up in trouble. There ought to be a mom and a dad somewhere putting the hammer down. It's not that you can't look cute and feminine. But they're, you know, enough's enough. And you women that think you're sexy, you're sexy. But you're doing things to men that if you knew you were doing, you would not be doing it. Or maybe you know what you're doing, and that's the problem. Well, I think I'm addressing the women today just a little bit. All right. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and crafty heart. Guys, there are women out there that'll eat you for lunch and spit you out. They are done. They're going to wreck your life. There are women out there who find out you're married. They see this wedding ring. You know what? That is bait. They see my wedding ring and they say, you know what? That guy didn't want a commitment. He may just want sex. I'll take him and his whole, I'll wipe him out and leave the wreck. And it's a game. It's a game. It's cat and mouse. She was loud and rebellious, verse 11. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. You think it's just the 90s women get aggressive? They got him right back here. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you. She didn't have to meet him. Anybody came by, she'd meet. I came out to meet you. Diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry-colored coverings of Egyptian linen. She's describing her bedroom, everything she's got ready to go. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love, and at least she's honest, until morning. Where'd the one-night stand come from? Right out of the book. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. She doesn't say, I'm going to leave my husband and marry you, and we'll have to be very happy together. She says, let's get busy. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. Now, lest you think it's just about looks, it's about words too. You know, I got some policies, and I'm If some woman calls me and says, you know, I've got some stuff I want to talk to you, will you go to lunch? You know what? I don't go to lunch with anybody but my wife, my girls, my mama, and my sister. And you say, well, I don't think that makes any sense. You know what? I don't give a rip what you think. Because all it takes is one time for me to get in the wrong situation. Now listen, guys, you women and men, listen to me. The enemy has a plan for your life to seek to steal, kill, and destroy. I know there is somebody that's got a plan for me to have a great wife, a great marriage, and a great home and family. But there is somebody working the other side. Every stinking day of my life, there's somebody with a different plan for me. And you guys that go to lunch with women and sit there and look in their eyes and wonder how sweet she would be and how nice this is to have someone to talk to, and you think, well, it's just a coworker, we're discussing things. I'm making a suggestion. I am making a strong suggestion to men and women. Single women, don't get in situations with married men on trips, whatever it may be. You are asking for trouble, whether you're asking for it or not. You say, well, I'm in control. I would never think of that. Yeah, but somebody else might.
Yeah, all right.
With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went in after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. You're not the first, and you won't be the last, if she knows what she's doing. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Now, guys, that doesn't sound very good, but boy, it looks so good at the moment. And see, you turn on the TV, you go to the movies, you know what they're doing, all this stuff. But you don't see the disaster a lot of times that it creates. You don't see the homes that are destroyed. You don't see the children's lives that are wrecked. It takes 20, 30 years to build a great marriage, and in a matter of seconds, you can take it out. Now, you say, well, you're sounding pretty candid about all this stuff. Let me tell you something. I am a human being saved by the grace of God, and when I do it God's way, I am capable of doing it God's way. When I get off track and do it my way, I am as vulnerable as the next person. And I am asking for trouble if I don't watch and pray as the scriptures instruct. You say, but it's fun. It is very tantalizing, guy. It's like playing with fire. You run your finger through that flame, it's very exciting. But if you get caught in that flame, you're in a heap of trouble. And I told a guy this week, I said, when you strike a match, there's three things going to happen. You're either going to blow it out, light a fire, or get burned. Something's going to happen. And when you start striking these matches with titillating things and excitement, it's exciting, guys, but somebody's going to get hurt. And I'm the one that has to sit down and talk to these girls who are pregnant and not married, or pregnant and trying to figure out, now are we going to add abortion to the disaster? Or to these people who are married and had an affair, and now they're trying to figure out how they're going to live with this. It was fun for that long, but the pain goes on and on. And there are people in this room who could come right up here to this podium and say, you know what? It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because it destroyed my life. It destroyed my wife, my husband, my family. All right. Maybe we should go to another topic. We are out of time, but let me read you one other place, one other thing really quick here. If you're reading these kind of things, there's a passage. I'm going to read you two verses. Maybe I can get two more verses in. Now, I know you know I've been single before and know how these things feel. You got to do that. I'm talking about husbands and wives. What about me? I've mentioned some women in here. It applies both ways. But listen to 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell, talking about with your wife, dwell with them according to knowledge, know who they are, giving honor to the wife as under the weaker vessel. Doesn't mean you're weaker mentally, whatever. Just be gentle with a woman. Some women could beat me up. Okay? That may not be the average, but they do exist. Okay? But on the average, men are built and made stronger than women. That's not a bad thing. Giving honor to the wife as under the weaker vessel, just purely physical here, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And why is he saying to do all these things? That your prayers be not hindered. a man's prayers can literally be stopped because he doesn't do the right thing with his wife. So, gentlemen, if you're out there praying, asking God to do a bunch of stuff, and you're not getting answers to your prayers, here's a very obvious place to start. Say, God, am I treating my wife with honor, according to knowledge, understanding who she is, who you made her to be? You got female, and you better know what you got and do the right thing accordingly, or your prayers will be impeded. And there's another passage in Ephesians 5 talking about marriage that says about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. And this word to cherish means to warm or to keep warm, to cherish with tender love, to foster with tender care. In just in general terms, men, basically, if you got male, you got somebody who wants sex. If you got female, you got someone who wants intimacy. It's not that women don't enjoy the sex, they want intimacy. And really, when guys stop long enough to think about it and process it, men aren't against intimacy. They just don't stop long enough to even get into it. So if everybody just slow down a little bit, boy, it's amazing how the topics jump around here, isn't it? If you got female, and I'll tell you what, this word cherish, I do a lot of weddings, and I use this word in weddings, and God's been working me on this cherish thing. It's hard to warm somebody without getting close to them. And see, you say, yeah, but I'm not interested in intimacy. It's my wife. This is her duty. Let me tell you something. You belong to her. She belongs to you. And it is your job to make her happy. It is her job to make you happy. But you don't have to wait to get her making you happy before you can make her happy. You do your part. Let God worry about her. You lead in that regard. And guys, I am no authority on this. I'm authority in the screw-up side of the ledger, probably, if Rebecca's standing here. But even if you feel like a screw-up, which a lot of times men do, don't stop trying. It's a process. And if you don't work it at home, guys, you're going to find yourself working it somewhere else. And if you women give up at home, you'll find yourself working somewhere else. And there's new models coming out every year. Men and women. And a new model's not the answer sometimes, anytime in this category. Stick with what you got. Don't give up. Realize what you have, whether you got male or you got female, and ask God to give you wisdom and insight to be the man or the woman that you need to be for that person, or in work or wherever it may be.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray and we'll go to work. Father, thank you so much for today. And Father, in some ways, this whole life thing, this whole God thing, and who you are, it is just, it's unbelievable. And people who don't know you think it's the most boring, drab, miserable, oh, give your life to God, he'll screw it all up. They just don't know, Father. They've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And Father, for Christians today who hear this and say, oh, but if I let go, all the excitement, all the stuff, God, it's not exciting. It's miserable. It's a roller coaster. And just give them the wisdom to say, enough's enough. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do this God's way. And Father, give us wisdom more than ever. There are people under the sound of my voice right now who are on the verge of an affair, who don't understand their own weaknesses or somebody else's, and they are getting clobbered and about to be decapitated by the enemy. And I pray that you'd wake them up. If we have friends and family who are in the middle of something like that, that we'd sit them down and say, look, you can say it's none of my business, but I love you and care about you and your life and your family, and this is going to get you in trouble. Father, help us see how deceiving, how crafty, how he is the father of lies, the enemy is, and will desire to destroy us. God, you're an awesome God. And for those, before I forget, Father, for people who say, you know, but I'm not just a screw-up, I'm a royal screw-up. I've done these things. I've left my wife. I'm married to somebody else, whatever the category. Father, I thank you for grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that if we've confessed our sin, you are faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to make us clean. And let those people, if they haven't experienced that forgiveness and cleansing, experience it today. Thank you for Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection that makes not only eternal life with you, Father, possible, but an abundant life between here and heaven. And may we experience more of that today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.